right? We have what's called chameleon Christians, right? You know what a chameleon is. You know, a chameleon is something that blends in with his background. And, you know, we pray that, you know, God would not allow us to be chameleon Christians and to blend in with the world.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of How to Live in a Shifting Culture. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How to Live in a Shifting Culture.
I'm thinking about buying some new shoes, right? Then the next thing you know, what's popping up on your screen? Now you haven't typed anything in. You know, all you said, I'm thinking about buying a pair of new shoes. Man, that's scary, man. That's scary, right? Now, all of a sudden, you know, now, and what happens? Pictures of shoes pop up, right? And what is it trying to do? It's trying to attract you, you know, to purchase. Lust of the eyes. That's of the world. That's of the world. And then the pride of life. The pride of life. Satan wants to shape our egos. He wants it to be all about us. You know, he wants to give us that Burger King anointing. And what is the Burger King anointing? Have it your way, right? It's all about you. And that's the pride of life. Satan wants to feed your ego. He wants to stroke your pride so that, you know, as you go through life, that you know you walk through life like Miss America, right? Like everybody's supposed to, you know, look at you, right? That's the world's mold. And it's trying to draw us in. Go back to that verse where it talked about, yeah, right there. I like J.B. Phillips' translation. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Because that's what it's trying to do. It's trying to shape you. It's trying to squeeze you into its own mold. Now, let me share with you some things. Okay, go to the next slide. Next one. Next one. There you go. All right. Look at these guys. They stood against defilement. They stood against defilement. Look at verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the eunuchs, the prince of the eunuchs. So see, we got there, the prince of the eunuchs. Who was over Daniel? The prince of the eunuchs. So if he was the prince of the eunuchs, the people under him, you know, would have to be eunuchs, all right, that he might not defile himself. Daniel and his three friends, they stood anchored. They stood firm. They stood in a way that they would not be moved. I like that. I like the song that says, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. And Daniel and his friends, they stood anchored. Teenagers, might I remind you. So, why is it that over 60% of our youth today are leaving the church, right? Why is it that 60% of our youth today are leaving the church? Now, again, this is not just one isolated study that's out there. This is a study that has been done by Pew Research, Nehemiah Institute, and many of us are familiar with the Barna Group, Lifeway Research. Here goes another group that many of us are interested in, and that, I mean, I know about Answers in Genesis and the American Research Group, Public Religion Research Institute. It's consistent across the board. that 60% of our youth are leaving the church. And I'm just not saying the church that they grew up in, that I'm the church altogether. Why? And here goes some of the reasons why they're leaving. First reason that they're leaving is because Christianity is too shallow and too exclusive. They feel like Christianity has no substance, no meaning. You know, that's why if you look at, you know, if you have kids or grandkids and you know the input that you tried to have in your in their life and they're not here today, you know, there's a good reason why they're not here. They feel like it's not worth anything to them. They feel like it's too shallow. That you know, there's deeper things out there in the world. You know, praise God for a group of young men that are teenagers that stood up on their faith. You know, they you know, it's too exclusive. Well, you know, Christianity can't be the only way. You know, there's got to be other ways. This can't be the only way. That's the world. That's the world. They're being squeezed into the mold of the world right before our eyes. Right before our eyes. Right? Church appears to be anti-science. What does that mean? That means that you believe in creation. You believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. You believe that God spoke things into existence. Oh, well, come on, man. You know that's not scientific. You know, you got to go back and you got to go back thousands and billions and multiple billions of years ago. And you got to see that that there was nothing. That there was nothing. And then all of a sudden, something came into existence. And then two elements kind of floating around in this huge mass of emptiness, that these two elements accidentally bumped together and life began, right? And then out of that, you know, it became like a little tadpole swimming in the ocean. Where'd the ocean come from? I don't know. But, you know, then it began to sprout legs. And then, you know, it sprouted arms and began to walk upright, right? And then had a tail and lost its tail and, you know, one day became a man. And I'm going to tell you what. It takes more faith to believe that foolishness than it does to believe that God said in the beginning, right? God created the heavens and the earth. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to make this statement. And this message is going to go out on the radio at some point. And, you know, we record on Sunday morning, so it goes on TV. So it's going to go out on TV. And I'm just going to say this. I would become an evolutionist. I would believe in evolution. If somebody could tell me one thing. How you get something out of nothing. How do you get something out of nothing? Right? Billy Preston, he told y'all, nothing from nothing leaves nothing, right? And so, you know, our kids are being forced to believe in something that is a fairy tale, right? That has shown to be incorrect. That has the support for evolution is falling more and more, and people, men, women who are evolutionists, are beginning to move away from the evolutionary model because they're saying it's not making sense. And you know, they're still not accepting God. You know, they're moving towards, you know, something that's called intelligent design, right? Well, you know, that's at least they're moving away from evolution. Right, intelligent design is still not, you know, you got to come all the way over. You know, you can't stop in the middle. You know, you got to come all the way over and say God, right? You got, you know, theistic evolution, but theism, you know, God created, the heavens and earth. So young people are leaving because they're swallowing the lie. They're believing this stuff, and they're coming back saying that the church makes no sense, right? The church is not scientific, all right? They're being squeezed into the mold of the world. Learning about evolution in college, kind of hit on that already. Lack of specific or scientific evidence for a creator. There's no evidence to show that there's a God according. So, what happens is, in number five, college is a hostile environment towards Christianity. This is a fact. And so young people leave our church, right? And they leave on a shaky foundation, right? And the shaky foundation is, I believe those stories in the Bible, right? And so they leave, and then they get in the college campus, and now these professors who are bent on making them look like fools, who are bent on destroying their faith, begins to question, how can that happen? You believe that somebody parted waters and people walked across on dry? How can that happen? And because there's no foundation there, that young people begin to say, this guy got the PhD, so he must know. All I had was, my grandma, who was a Sunday school teacher, and, she didn't have any degrees. This guy been to school for, 8, 12 years, and so, when I compare him to my grandma, now I love my grandma, but my grandma is the same person that told me that if I didn't put my coat on when I went out in the cold, that I was going to catch a cold. And scientifically, we know that you catch a cold because of germs, right? And so grandma really, if grandma didn't have that right, I wonder what else grandma missed it on. And maybe grandma missed it on, creation, and maybe grandma missed it on the stories too. And now they're beginning to doubt. They're beginning to say to themselves, maybe what the Sunday school teachers told me, really wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. Now, you know how I know this is true? Because it's happened right here at Bethany, right? Right here at Bethany. I've talked to some kids that grew up here. Let me leave that alone. Let me leave that alone, right? But it's deep, And we're talking about the fact that, we should not be squeezed into the mold and the culture of the world. Thank God that these young men took a stand and they stood aggressively. Let me show you something else in reference to the Word of God. It was asked, when did you first have doubts about the Bible? 1.6% of those surveyed said, I don't know. 4.4% said elementary school. Look at the middle two. Middle school and high school is where they first began to entertain doubts about the Bible. Wow. So to some degree, I don't know if you've ever heard this song by the Eagles. Right? There's a song by the Eagles, and the title of the song is, I'm Already Gone, right? He's in a relationship, right? And I'm already gone, right? And so when you think about it, before a lot of the young people leave for college, they're already gone. They're already gone. And so that's why it becomes important that we do all that we can to instill within them a healthy sense of the Word of God, and that this is God's Word, and that it is something that we can stand on. One more thing about this shifting culture that I want to point out, and that is this. The percentage of people with a biblical worldview is declining with each new generation. It was already down, with the baby boomers, because less than 12% of people have a biblical worldview. Now, when I say biblical worldview, what do I mean? I mean that you look at things through the lens of the Bible. that you look at marriage through the lens of the Bible, that you look at gender through the things, through the lens of the Bible, that you look at money through the lens of the Bible, that subjects in life, that you look at them through the lens of the Bible. That's what it means. That's a simple definition of what it means to have a biblical worldview. So look at with each generation, we see that those holding a biblical worldview is declining. We're in a shifting culture, saints. And if we allow ourselves to get caught up in it, where is the hope? You know, where is the hope? Where is those? Let's go back to Daniel chapter 1. And I can already see this first message is going to be a two-part message. y'all knew that was coming, right? But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with evolution, with accepting the world's definition of marriage, with accepting the world's definition of gender, that he would not defile himself, that he purposed, that he made up in his mind. That's what the word purpose means. The word purpose means he made up in his mind that even before he was challenged, even before he was confronted, that he already made up his mind. And as I think about some things that we all, but especially the young people, need to stay anchored in, there are three things. There are three things. And I think I might hit this and I might be done, because I got a lot more to say. Three things. We need to stand anchored in Genesis 1 through 11. We need to stay anchored. I need some amens here this morning. I need some amens this morning. We need to stay anchored in Genesis 1 through 11, because that's where the foundation of our faith is at. Everything that we believe about beginnings starts in Genesis 1 through 11. You know, a couple of years ago, you know, we had a film here that talked about, you know, Genesis 1 through 11, and we, you know, had we showed the movie and we passed out handouts, and ever since then, I've made a commitment as the pastor of this church that once a year, that we are going to have what I call Creation Sunday, and ever since then, I've brought in some of the top people in the field on creation, and they've come and they've shared with us. That's my commitment to you, to follow up on keeping this in front of us. Because if we lose it here, we've lost the battle. If you lose it here, then what Jesus said, you might as well just throw out the window. Why? Because Jesus made reference to Genesis 1 through 11 as being literal, as being historical. And so if Jesus was making reference to it, then that means he's a liar. And if he lied about that, what else is he lying about? You know, that means that, is he lying about the fact that he was God and he can save me from my sin? See, that's what I'm saying. You got to be careful. And the problem is that a lot of people are picking and choosing. They're cherry picking. Well, you know what, And so we got this thing called theistic evolution, right? Which believes that God might have started it, but now evolution has carried it on. And that's the compromise that the church is making. The church is making that compromise. I was reading about a group of pastors, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran. Now, I wish I'd remember, and I would have brought that slide to put it up here. But there's actually a group of pastors that have come together, and their sole purpose is to affirm evolution. Pastors, that's their objective, is to come together to affirm evolution. What does that tell me? That tells me that they've lost their grip on the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Saints, we got to hold on to that. Man, Let me say this. And again, I'm not trying to sell any books. You know, if you buy them, that's fine. If not, what I'm trying to show you, how passionate I am about this, right? Man, I am passionate about this. Let's start Genesis 1 through 11. I got a book out on apologetics, defending the Christian faith. There's a whole chapter in here on defending the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Standing up on the first 11 chapters of Genesis and how to defend the first 11 chapters of Genesis. That's how serious I am. We're losing sight on that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, all-inclusive word of God. I wrote a book, man, that did touched by the breath of God. And in this book, I talk about all the arguments that people come up against, that the Bible has been tampered with, that there's mistakes in the Bible, that the Bible is not relevant. You know, we go through all that. Any question that you can have about the Bible, I've answered in here. That's how passionate I am. And then, you know, we have Jesus is under attack. The resurrection of Christ, the deity of Christ, the existence of Christ. Because people are saying that he was just a legend, right? There was no Jesus. You know, there's no record that Jesus ever existed. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And so I tell you what, man, I am so passionate about this that, you know, I think it would be a shame, man, for the people of Bethany, as passionate as their pastor is, for them to fall into these areas right here. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. We preach the word every week, and we preach it right out of the inspired word of God. We talk about Jesus Christ and who he is. We talk about creation and what it means. And my desire is that you would be able to be like Daniel. That you purpose in your heart that you are not going to be squeezed into the world's mold. Don't be squeezed into the world's mold. And it's happening to Christians every day. You know, we're seeing it. Young people. Yeah, I was talking to my granddaughter, and you know, I asked her, could she let me see her science book? And so she gave me her science book, and there's a whole section in there on evolution, a whole chapter on evolution. And I read through it. I'm like, man, they make this seem so beautiful. They make it seem so good, right? And so you go back to that one slide, middle school, high school, they're already gone. they already got them. That's why, man, we got to fight. At this church, you know, we got to fight the good fight. That's why we're having walk through the Bible. You know, I would encourage every young person, every teenage young person, and I'm not sure I'm going to talk to the guy to see what is the youngest person that could be here and benefit from being here, but every young person in this church ought to be signed up for walk through the New Testament. Every young person. And get a comprehensive grasp on the New Testament. And like I said, at some point we're going to do the Old Testament. But that's, you know, that's my commitment. You know, I want to see us not be squeezed into the world's mold, but to stand up for the things of the world.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of How to Live in a Shifting Culture, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How to Live in a Shifting Culture, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Live in a Shifting Culture. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Live in a Shifting Culture. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.